Welcome to the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Let's open God's Word together. In just a moment, Dr. Wilton will be taking us to Luke chapter 15 as he continues. Yesterday, or perhaps you heard the message on prodigals. Well, today, whether you heard yesterday's message or not, this will help you and I as we think about loving on prodigals. Because sometimes the change is immediate. God does something remarkably quickly. But, you know, God's not impatient, and He is willing to work on us as long as it takes. So loving on prodigals is a message today that I think will encourage you on this Friday in a powerful way with God's Word. Again, our speaker is Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, pastor. And today, as he dives into God's Word, we're available for you. 866-899-WORD is the number, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, one of the most painful things I think for people who love people is that when you love someone and then you see them leave and go away, or it takes so many different forms, doesn't it? You know, sometimes it's just simply that person, that son, that daughter that just literally walks out, leaves, disappears. I can't try and give you all the reasons, because there are just so many. And prodigalism takes a lot of different expressions, doesn't it? A prodigal is not just someone who goes off. You can be a prodigal and stay in the same home. Some people live with prodigals. Prodigalism can be in the heart. Let's not just have a picture of someone who, you know, just goes to pieces and ends up in drugs and alcohol and on the streets, because that's prodigalism is leaving home. And a prodigal is a person who leaves home and then comes back. And in Luke chapter 15, you're going to need your Bibles today. I want to show you something about what it means to love on prodigals. Because the picture that we've got, which we've just heard and seen so well portrayed in song and in drama just a moment ago, is a beautiful picture. And this is a very special word to so many today who are right caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place. You'll find yourself, if this is what you're dealing with, you'll find yourself going through every emotion. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. Sometimes, my friends, it's hard not to even get angry. I mean, sometimes you can get right to the edge, and the person you love, for whatever reason, you know, you just eventually find yourself saying, you know, just go. Go and hurt yourself. And even in an even more radical expression of that, you know, I'm just going to, so to speak, I just disown you. I don't want to have anything more to do with you. You want to do that, go ahead and do it. And you're an adult or whatever it is, just go. Far as I'm concerned, it's your life. So could we be just very open and honest with each other today? And there's a whole vast array of emotion. And our purpose is to try and discover what it is that God would say to us. So let me read this to you in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said that there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into a far land where Jesus said he squandered. He squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And So he went out and he hired himself out. That's quite a word there. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. This man was so out of his home and environment, he was so low, he was willing to accept anything. It's amazing. Prodigalism very often gives a picture of someone who has everything, and they go to a point where they lose everything, to the point at which they are willing to do anything. That's a picture of desperate. And the Bible said that in verse 16, that he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. Even that was not sufficient. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? So I'm going to arise, I'm going to go back to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, so treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose, came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." Isn't that a beautiful expression? "And he felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him, and he kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." I want to say to somebody today, prodigals leave home and then they come back. You're going to celebrate. I wish I could tell you how much longer you have to wait, but I don't know. I can't do that. None of us can. How long do you need to keep on loving? I don't know, but keep on loving. That's the hard part. So when we look at this, there are two things that I want us to picture here together, which I think are very essential to us trying to ask the Lord to help us know what to do. The first is the expression of the Father's love. In many ways, the expression of the Father's love is a love language. You and I understand that in our daily habitation. You don't necessarily have to actually do. The expression of love is that which comes from the heart. Yes, it manifests itself. Expression manifests itself. It works itself out. It does show and tell. But there are really two dynamics here that we are presented in God's Word. And both of them give us a picture of God, our Heavenly Father. This is exactly the same way that God loves us, because we too are lost in our trespasses and sins. Our sin separates us from God. Sin causes us to get hurt. Sin makes us drift. Sin takes us away from the Father's love. And the picture here is a wonderful picture of the Father's love. He's long-suffering and he's kind and he's gracious and he never gives up on us. And he's always waiting to welcome us home. It's a beautiful picture. So there's an expression of the Father's love, but then there's the practice of the Father's love. And these two pictures are both presented here by the Lord Jesus to remind us through the heart of our Heavenly Father what it means to express a mother, a father's love, or a best friend's love toward someone that is going through this prodigal journey. But on the other hand, there's the practice of this love. What did it actually translate into? You know, I really believe when it comes to our Christian faith and our walk with the Lord, even here in our own church. This should be true of every Christian. Don't just tell me what it is about the love of Christ. Show me what it is. The younger generation today, my friends, are no longer interested in rules and regulations and institutionalism. They want relationships. They want to see this in action. They want to roll up their sleeves. They want to do it. These two run side by side. And the picture here that God gives to us is a beautiful picture. And I want to just break this down for you very quickly in this passage, and it's all right there. So first of all, the expression of the Father's love, and it's all right there in verse 20 if you'd like to look at it. First of all, he saw him. This here is an incredible picture of the Father's eyes. It's not just a physical seeing. It's seeing with his heart the one whom he loves. He saw him. The Father never stopped looking out. You know that beautiful picture in the scriptures of the Lord Jesus himself when he came and he stood over Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives and he saw the people. This is viewing those we love from our heart. He not only saw him, but he was filled with compassion for him. The heart not only looked to this one that had left home and had demanded everything and had gone on a long journey into a strange land, he not only was aware of him, which means that there was never a time at which, even though the son had left, that the one who loved him was not seeing him. And secondly, he was filled with compassion. What an expression for him. And compassion, how do you define compassion? It's just an overwhelming outpouring of love for someone, regardless. And that translated into the third expression, he ran toward him. You know, we've got this picture sometimes that in order for someone to come home, they have to come to us. And the picture here is, no, as you come to us, I come to you long before you come to us. It's all born out of love. Now watch this. This is the picture here of the Father's love. He saw him, he was filled with compassion for him, and he ran toward him, so beautifully portrayed here in the drama that we've just seen. He ran toward him. This is not a docile, dormant love. It's a get-up-and-go love. I heard the other, several weeks ago, I was watching some program, Dateline or something like that, news program, and they had a story of a girl who just left home. She just walked out, got in the wrong crowd. She walked out. She was about 18 or so years of age. She wasn't very nice. She was very unkind to her parents, broke their hearts, and she walked out. And folks, watch this. She disappeared. And do you know that that mother and father, for 2 years, never heard from her, but they never stopped looking for her. And one day, they were in California, and they suddenly got a clue and a hint. And this story was about this mother and father in a not a very good part of this city in which their daughter had ended up in, and how one thing led to the other, and the daughter got word that the parents were there still looking. This is 2 years after she had walked out and got into terrible things. And there was this picture of this daughter leaving this place that was not a good place and walking out, and she ran toward her mother and father who were coming down the street, and it had this picture of the mother and father just running like they were almost falling over themselves. Just this picture of the parents who had spent 2 years trying to find this daughter that they loved. They found her. She heard about it, came running to them. They came running toward her, and there was this incredible welcome home. Ran to him, and leads immediately into that fourth expression, he embraced him. I love that so much, that word embrace. Is there anything quite like just a jolly good hug? Have you ever looked at someone and they've said, what can I do for you? And you say, you know, I could really just use a jolly good hug. And it carries with it that expression of this warm embrace. I mean, putting your arms around someone and just loving them. Just embracing them. Could I use this word kind of just swallowing them up? Just having a good gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. I'm just going to gobble you up. Which led to the final expression, he kissed him. Incidentally, that little word is a very important word. Now, back in Jesus' time, the kiss was very symbolic. The kiss signified the identity of the person that was being kissed. And the kisser, the one who kissed the one, whatever frame of reference they brought to the table, the fact that the father kissed the son was symbolical of the father giving his full identification to the one that he kissed. Well, let's take it another way. There was a fellow called Judas, and you'll remember Judas betrayed Jesus. So when Judas came into the Garden of Gethsemane, all those Roman soldiers and the authorities were watching, because vested in Judas was the ability to identify the person they wanted to get. And when Judas walked up to Jesus, he kissed him. Thereby, through the authority that he carried, he was identifying to these people that this is the one. The father kissed the son after all the pain and the hurt and the journey, saying, I want everybody to know this is my son. So if that's the expression, what was the practice of the father's love? Now this is a beautiful picture, because in the practice of the father's love, there was a four-point or a four-stage process that the father went to show the expression of his love in practice. So let's look at it. Number one, he put a robe on his back. What did that mean? What the father was doing is that he was saying, my son, as your father, I cover you. And the covering of the robe, one and at the same time, not only shut out all the outside elements, but encased and held together the warmth of the heart. It was both an outer and an inner covering. And the Father was showing to us exactly what it is that God does for us in Christ Jesus. That through the righteousness of Christ, we are covered by His sacrifice. And we become clothed in the righteousness of the garments of Almighty God. And when we come to Him in repentance and in faith, and God, our Heavenly Father, says, come on into my presence because my Son has paid the sacrifice. And when you come to Him by repenting of your sin and by confessing that sin and by receiving Him into your heart and life, Christ Jesus, through His righteousness, clothes us and covers over our sin, keeping intact the warmth of our heart, the blood flow of our relationship with Christ and protecting us from all that would seek to come against us from the outside, the elements. All who walk away from the Father's love are exposed to the elements of this world. And so he put a robe on his back. The second thing he did was he put a ring on his finger. What a beautiful picture. He put a ring on his finger. We associate rings like my wedding band here. And we love rings. Ladies especially love rings. Just try them out and see, long as it's got a little glittering thing on it. Rings are very important. And when he put a ring on his finger, what the Father was doing in practice was twofold. First of all, the ring symbolized his belonging to. Rings symbolize belonging to. When I show you my wedding band, when you see my wedding band, let there be no mistake that I belong to Karen. I am married to Karen. She is the love of my life. She and I are one. This ring symbolizes, it means I'm taken, I'm accounted for. It means that I have a permanent relationship with someone that I love. But it also symbolizes completeness. The wedding band carries those two ideas. And when this father, who has expressed his love, put a robe on his back, covered him as Christ does with his righteousness, now puts a ring on his finger, symbolizes his full and complete belonging to his Father's house in every way, plus the completeness of the journey. Yes, he might have taken a detour, but he's back. The ends are joined. There's no gap anymore. But he took it further than that. He put shoes on his feet. That's what the Bible says here in verse 22. It said he put sandals on his feet. Why did he put shoes on his feet? Well, again, showing us the Father's love. So many fold. First of all, to protect him from the sharpness of that upon which he walked. He was shod with the preparation of God's righteousness. The righteousness of God prevents us and allows us to be able to walk through life without walking on eggshells. When we are shod with the shoes of God and His righteousness, it means that we're not going to gather dust. It means we're not going to soil our feet. It means we're going to be able to run even in difficult places. It means we're going to be able to walk and not faint. And so here's the Father putting His love in practice, putting a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. But there was a final thing that he did. My favorite one. He put food in his stomach. He said, kill the fatted calf. Make a feast. Back then in Jesus' time, of course, the very expression of killing a fatted calf, and every word there is so loaded. The sacrifice that was necessary because of the Father's love through Jesus Christ so that we might feast upon Him. The shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. There can be no covering. There can be no ring. There can be no robe. The feast that was prepared was symbolically the final moment. It was the drum roll. It was the feast to end all feasts. And what it symbolized was just very simply, son, come and be filled, because in me you can be satisfied. My son, there's no need ever to leave home again. There's no need to ever do this. You are my son, and everything I have is yours. Come home. Come home. Come home. Because I want you to know those that love you, we really love you. And whether or not you've actually physically left home, or whether you've just left home in your heart, we're running to you. We see you. We love you. We embrace you. We have a robe to cover you, a ring to complete you, shoes to protect you, and food to fill you. Come and feast. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. I'm going to ask you to come today. I'm going to ask you to respond today. Love that great hymn of the faith, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me, it's time, isn't it? I'm going to ask some of you who love on prodigals, come and pray. Come and ask God to help you, because it's not easy to love like this. But I wish we could just all walk out the door today and say, well, from now on, we're going to go buy a coat and a ring and a new pair of shoes, and we're going to kill the fatted calf. We're going to find something good to eat. We're going to get it all ready. And we're just going to say, man, I'm not going to be mad anymore. And you know, folks, we got to ask God to help us. That's tough. That's hard. But the Lord does that. Maybe today you're listening. God's spoken to you. Come home. Come home. Lord Jesus, bring them home. Bring our boys and bring our girls back home. Bring that dad back home, that mom back home. Make a decision today.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Again, that phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Have a wonderful weekend. And as Dr. Don would say, we'll see you in church on Sunday.